Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
We are doing something different today.
Yeah.
Yeah. If our sound is a little different than normal.
Not as good.
Yeah.
Maybe a little background
noise. Maybe a little backgroundy.
We're on location.
We are. Where are we?
Well, we're on a ski hill.
Yes.
In a hostel slash hotel. And so there's some people walking down the hall. You might hear them. Hopefully they don't swear too loudly.
Or yell or scream. So we're trying this.
Yeah.
Let's see what's up.
We are a travel podcast.
We are. We are. So we thought this was a little appropriate.
We're traveling close to home.
Very close to home.
In a safe and responsible manner.
Like within less than an hour's distance from us. Yes. But a little change of pace. We are completely being safe. It's just us. And we're just, going for a different location today. So bear with us. For today's episode, besides being on location, way back in November, we started a decades look. We were talking about the Through the Decades section on Disney Plus.
We were going to do it once a month.
Yeah, but then December happened.
December's pretty busy, yeah.
Yeah, I want to do all the Christmas-themed episodes. I know, I won that one. But it's January.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on to our next decade. The 1940s makes sense. We did the 30s.
And 20s. Yeah, and we kind of combined them.
We did. Yeah, I mean, the 20s was very minimal, so.
Early Disney, and now we're moving on.
Yeah. So, 40s things really pick up. So we're
There's some good classics in the
Seriously,
40s.
Yeah. So we're talking about that today. Before we get to that, though, do you have a nerd thing you're into currently?
Well, I mean, going on a ski trip's pretty nerdy.
That is pretty nerdy.
In certain ways, yeah. I grew up in a ski town, and so I've been skiing since a young age, and it kind of fell away, and I'm trying to get back into it, so that's why we're here.
We actually live in a beautiful, like, mountainous area, so it makes sense for you to get back into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not getting back into it.
I am not. My version
or
of...
Into it
at all, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll go skiing, and you'll wake up early. And I sleep in. And then I gradually get up, and I dress in fluffy, fluffy clothes, and sit and read a book in a hot tub or by a fire or something with, like, a toddy or something like that. And you come in, and you're brushing snow all off yourself, and you look half frozen, and one of us is skiing wrong. And I think it might be you. I ski very comfortably.
I get some fresh air and enjoy myself, and you are a couch potato. I understand.
Cuddled up by the fire. It is lovely.
Okay.
Okay, so we are skiing. My nerd thing, actually, it was my birthday last episode. It came out on Monday. That was my birthday. And I got a couple of cool birthday gifts that were quite nerdy and fantastic. One, I treated myself to. I took myself shopping for a new Loungefly bag.
You do like Loungefly bags.
I know, but this is my first Pixar one.
Oh.
Yeah, so I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was actually from you. I have started really liking Pop figures. If you were watching...
Danger.
I know. If you were following along on Instagram or Facebook, you may have seen my Marvel Pop, Mini Pop advent calendar. Well, Brandon, for my birthday, got me probably the coolest Pop figure. It is the most adorable Donald ever, riding the Matterhorn. And it was one of the 65th anniversary of Disneyland specials. So it's probably now my favorite, or at least one of my favorites anyway. And so I really like that one. So that's my nerd thing I'm currently into.
Cool.
It's my new birthday gifts. speaking of birthday gifts, happy birthday to Brandon. Happy birthday to Brandon.
I'm dancing.
He is dancing, actually. We are exactly 1 week apart. It is your birthday today when this is going to be released. So happy birthday.
Oh, I'm old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost as old as me.
Almost.
Almost.
Not quite, though.
No. Never catch up.
No.
So to celebrate, we are skiing.
Yes, it is my birthday present to go skiing.
Yes, in our different ways. And for your birthday weekend, Brandon, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm back on the old pass beer two planks train.
Me too. Let's clink.
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 That
did not sound...
No.
No, that did not pick up at all.
But two planks.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
We decided occasionally we'd read one of our reviews.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, so I have another one. I like the title.
Hopefully a good review.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
This one's a good one.
That is smart.
That is good.
It would be silly to read a bad one. Unless it was really funny, but don't, no.
No, I think I would. I think I can handle constructive criticism.
Mm.
I'm a teacher of teenagers. They are very constructively critical sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Constructive may be a strong word.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Critical is mostly critical. I like this one because of the title.
Oh.
It is, I give Disney an A.
Oh,
yes. That's and this a is by
terrible pun.
No, I adore it.
Yes,
I
of course you would.
Enjoy great puns. This one is from Canada Paul? Paul? Not sure. Canada Poll. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says, finally watched Hamilton and really enjoyed it after listening to their podcast's insights. They're an entertaining and delightful pair.
Oh.
Hamilton was one of our favorite episodes to do.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And not just because we can talk about Hamilton for like hours on end. Not just because we have talked about Hamilton for hours on end.
Yes. Hamilton was probably the best thing to happen in 2020, except maybe the last episode of Mandalorian.
Ooh, yeah, that's a close one.
But yeah, it was a surprising and delightful musical for me. So
we had a lot of fun doing that one. So that was nice, and apparently we're entertaining and delightful.
Oh.
How fantastic.
Well, that is very generous.
Thank you very much, Canada Poll. Thank you. And then very last thing before we move on to the news. Brandon, we just literally watched...
Yeah, literally.
Yes, episode 3 of WandaVision. Immediate gut reaction, spoiler free.
Mm.
What did you think?
Well, you know, it's building to something, mm-hmm. I think. And I dig it.
Yeah.
To get into that 70s vernacular.
Yeah, that was fun. Groovy.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't spoilers or anything. It's very stylized. It's very 70s. It's very Brady Bunch-esque.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the style of it. I thought that was a lot of fun. The story's definitely moving along, but I felt like I enjoyed the last two more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough. They're trying to do the whole sitcom homage thing, but still make it weird and fit it into a decade each time. So their hands are tied that way. I think as a whole season, it's all going to come together really nicely.
I'm really enjoying each episode, and I'm going to also really enjoy rewatching all of them back to back, which is definitely going to happen at least once.
Yeah. The episodes are quite short because they originally said like 6 episodes and they're stretching it out to 9. Yeah. So
we are dealing with short episodes. Just from being like online and things like that, I do think people like the 70s more than the 50s and 60s.
Interesting.
I disagree with that personally, just because it might just be because I like the style of the 50s and 60s ones so much. But anyway, this one you can definitely tell they're building.
Yes, I think the first two episodes had a better sitcom hook.
Right. But this one seemed
a little stuck between the Marvel and the sitcom.
Right. Yeah, I do think a lot of people had trouble with the black and white thing, though.
Yeah, well.
They're wrong. Yeah. Okay, so that, I really liked it anyway. I still really, really liked it. I just could have a whole season of like 50s and then a whole season of 60s and then a whole season of 70s. But you can definitely tell they're building to something. And I think I'm also sad because the closer they get to building to something, the more I'm going to lose the fun, campy sitcom stuff.
Yes, it is going to, I definitely assume it's going to become full on Marvel superhero.
I think we're
going
to get up to like the 90s and that's it.
Yeah.
That's my hypothesis.
Hmm.
Okay, so I really enjoy it. Highly recommend. Brandon, what news is catching you today? Disney A News Update.
Well, we had a big announcement on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's where I saw it. But I'm sure it was other places as well.
Yep.
We're finally getting the full run of The Muppet Show.
I am so excited.
On Disney+.
I am so excited.
No word if it's the DVD version that was chopped up because of rights issues. I'm assuming that's probably what we're at, but that'll be fine.
Don't care. So excited. And I know that's weird. I have the first 3 seasons on DVD that they released.
But just to have free and easy access to it all the time.
I will watch it all the time.
Yeah.
I love the Muppets.
It'll be good background noise. Excellent.
Excellent. Perfect.
And the other thing we saw today was a nice little sneak preview of the major part of Avengers Campus that may or may not be opening this year.
They say it's going to. Gotta keep positive here, Brandon.
I'm struggling with that.
I know.
Yeah, so they had a behind-the-scenes episode with Tom Holland getting to ride his Spider-Man ride that he obviously would have helped star in. Mm-hmm. And he said it's the most he's ever felt like Spider-Man, which is pretty high praise coming from Spider-Man himself.
And can I just say, I know there's been a lot of Spider-Mans recently.
Relatively
recently.
Yeah, in general, yeah.
He's my favorite Spider-Man.
He's definitely the best Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
So for, in my opinion, the best Spider-Man to say this is the time he's felt the most Spider-Man, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? YouTube? You could probably watch this video of him getting to ride this ride and talk
ride. It would be on the Disney YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. It was on Disney Facebook, all the socials, basically.
So if you haven't checked out, definitely do it. You get a nice sneak peek of this. So that brings us to our topic today.
Disney Plus and chill.
So the 1940s.
That was a long time ago.
I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that old. I do not remember.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the 40s was an interesting time for Disney.
It was an interesting time for the entire world.
When I was looking this up, I found it really fascinating because we're not living through like the 40s kind of interesting time right now. We are living through a historical event right now.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I'm jumping up and down and being like, you know what I should do? Create fantastic films.
That's a good point. Right? I mean, yeah, we're just trying to keep it together at this point.
But quite frankly, what I did not realize, so I looked up a couple different sources. Disney was just kind of trying to keep it together too. They had all of this success from Snow White, and then World War II happened.
Yeah.
Right? And so Disney Company didn't go public until 1940. That was interesting timing.
Not the best time to be hitting stock markets.
Right?
Yeah.
But early 40s, like 40, 41, 42, like in there was some struggle in the Disney Company. Animators basically were moving towards unionization, and Walt did not necessarily, he was not really on board for that.
Well, I mean, say what you will about Disney and his creative brilliance, he does strike me as he was a little bit of a control freak.
Yeah, he had high praise for capitalist ideals.
Yeah.
Would be a way to say that. And I'm not sure. So I was in a bit of a discussion on one of the Disney Facebook groups earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, can you like a, say, film that didn't age well? We were talking specifically about Lady and the Tramp, the Siamese cats.
Mm.
And there's a couple other instances in the 40s. Can you like a film that didn't age well and still be like, there's a problem with it? And a lot of people were like, no, if you like it, you just like it and you accept all parts of it. And other people were like, you don't like it and you're just like, this is a problem film. And I mean, it's hard because people are either like offended or not offended, and it's going to depend a lot on your experiences and things. My kind of point was like, I liked this film. As a child, I still understood, there's maybe something not quite right here. And you can be critical of something and still love it. And I think Disney was having some troubles in the 40s with some of the things that people may be critical of now. And we can still love Disney.
Yeah. I mean, it's a product of its time.
Right.
You can recognize the problems and go, whew, Pinocchio smoking like a chain smoker.
What?
And that's bizarre.
Really, really weird.
But it can still be fun.
Yeah.
And you realize it's a product of its time.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that it's okay now.
No.
You can never do
that now.
Right. You look at it through the lenses of, well, now 2021.
Thank goodness.
But being aware that it was the 40s.
Mm.
Okay, and Lady and the Tramp was not the 40s, but that was just what we were discussing. Like you said, Pinocchio. Dumbo came out in the 40s.
It did?
You know, some ones in there. So anyway, let's go back. So there was a struggle, and there was an issue between Walt and a lot of his animators.
Yeah.
They were moving towards unionization. Walt was not super happy about this, but however, there started to be like walkouts and stuff like that. There's not really much he could have done at this point. They are skilled animators.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to listen to them when you are creating these works of art. You kind of have to rely on the artists.
It is art.
Yes.
And it's not like something you can easily replace.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. So that's what he was struggling with. And when Walt had troubles, he traveled. I like this theory.
Okay.
Okay. I'm basically supportive of traveling all the time. And he went to South America. While he was there, good old Roy resolved the strikes and the walkouts and everything like that.
I like Roy.
Right?
He was a smart accountant type.
Yeah. You would identify with Roy. You're on board with Roy.
Big fan of Roy.
Yeah. He would like weighs the pros and cons. Mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's cool is he was in South America and we see a lot of that influence in the 40s. That's why this is particularly significant. I'll get to where it really shows up later, but we do see that he has a lot of this influence. 40s are happening after Pearl Harbor.
Just gloss over that. Just after Pearl Harbor.
After Pearl Harbor, right?
It's only going to live in infamy. It's fine.
Yeah, I heard that.
After that.
So he's like moving merrily along and then Pearl Harbor happens. And then all of a sudden, over half the studio was requisitioned as a base for anti-aircraft troops. So Walt has to kind of shift gears here a little bit.
Yeah,
like, you know, everyone in this time. Mm-hmm. So he throws all of his attention into propaganda films and government training videos.
Yeah.
Right? And actually, if you've ever had a chance to see some of them, they're quite interesting. Donald in particular.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about Donald. He was super popular during World War II for these films.
It actually fits really well. Like,
right?
It is a fascinating piece of history seeing the Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Like fighting Nazis and building tanks and
weird
stuff like that. Yeah, it is really interesting.
He did a lot of different ones. The most famous, I'm not German, so I'm probably going to say this, pronounce this wrong, but it was Der Führer's Face.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Duck experiences a day in a Nazi country, where he has to make do with eating ridiculous Nazi food rations. For example, he survives off the smell of bacon and eggs, coffee made with one bean, and a slice of wood-like stale bread. He experiences a day at a Nazi artillery factory and completely breaks down. He wakes up realizing the experience was a nightmare. He embraces a model of the Statue of Liberty and exclaims, "Am I glad to be a citizen of the United States of America?"
And see, think about the other Disney characters. It wouldn't work with Goofy because he's super goofy. And it wouldn't work with Mickey because he's too optimistic, happy-go-lucky Mickey.
Right.
Donald is this perfect mix of anger and Americana that it's perfect for a propaganda film, I think.
Yeah, but if you were like, who should we put in propaganda films for a world war? I'm not like Donald Duck. But it totally worked. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's the anger, it's the passion, he's also very like down home.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's a good old duck.
Mm-hmm. Like, he is a good old duck.
Totally works. Yeah. He's a family man.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally worked. That's probably the most famous. Probably the most famous.
Yeah, of course.
The other one that was released, this one was actually released theatrically, was Victory Through Air Power, but Walt was very proud of it. It did not do well. He had more success with the animated shorts, even though Victory Through Air Power was a feature length. At the end of the war, Walt was pretty cash strapped, and so he decided to focus on folksy Americana. Fueled by his love of his hometown, he created Song of the South in 1946.
Oops.
Yep. We're going to jump around a little bit in our years here,
so
we're aware.
Yes, because in the early 40s, you had the bing bang boom of the big animated ones that we still think about today.
So I kind of want to go back to those, because we're seeing like the effects of the war and why he did what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So 46 happens, he creates Song of the South, and he figures, let's go back to the roots, kind of Americana, folksy tales, right? Based on the Uncle Remus stories by Joel Chandler Harris, the film is set in the South in the 1800s. When he was making it, he's like, this might be slightly problematic. He thought this in the 40s. So he solicited the input of different black leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And they warned him, like, on record about certain things. For instance, maybe you don't have happy singing slaves.
Yeah. That's a good point.
However... Walt took some other advice and ignored other pieces of advice. And he was like, when in doubt, he decided to adhere to his creative instincts, which is a nice idea. you have to tread that line as a creator, and he did not really do that very accurately.
They call that white privilege.
Yes. to make matters worse, the film premiere was held in Atlanta, Georgia, which was still segregated at the time, so the actor who plays Uncle Remus, James Baskett, couldn't even get a hotel room to attend the premiere.
Great.
There were some not great choices made. Now, Song of the South, I think, you know, as time goes on and we actually get to open Disneyland and we actually get to see Splash Mountain getting redone, we will probably talk about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Song of the South has been basically ignored in our memory.
Swept under the rug.
That's a nice way to say it. We've both seen the cartoon parts, like the Brer Bear, Brer Rabbit things, but the whole movie I have actually never seen.
I think the last time it would have been available for public consumption would have been when we were like 3 or 4 years old.
Maybe.
No, it was in the late 80s. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right. It's never been released on DVD, and it was very rarely released on VHS. Mm-hmm. So, it has been swept under the rug. There's a couple great Disney classic songs that are unfortunately now also getting swept under the rug as part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Zippity-Doo-Dah being
the
big one.
Big one.
Right? Mm-hmm. But it is now barely acknowledged by the company.
Yeah, and I mean, probably for good reason.
Yeah. The film made only a small profit. There was a media controversy that has only exponentially grown with time. So, that happened in 1946. Yeah. So not, you know, that was the try and come back after the war. Before this, 1940.
Yep.
Pinocchio. We just rewatched this, actually.
Yes.
This was based on an 1883 Italian children's novel. Every time I watch this, I always want to think it's in Germany. I know the names are Italian.
The names are Italian, but the cities, like, we've been to both Germany and Italy.
Yes.
And the town, like Geppetto's town, looks very German.
Mm-hmm.
And their clothing, like they're wearing lederhosen.
They look like it's placed just outside of the Black Forest in Germany.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like an animator's choice or what, but it's an Italian story, Italian names, but very German aesthetic, if you ask me.
I agree. There might be some Italian towns that would have been like at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were in Italy in like not the 1800s. So.
No, I was not there right? then. No, yes.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know, but it seems super German to me. And of course, the whole cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
Geppetto's profession. I'm sure there were those in Italy too, but it seems very German.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be a real boy, Pinocchio must prove himself to be brave, truthful, and unselfish. The big one that really lasted through here, I mean, Pinocchio is a classic. It is the second animated feature-length film.
Mm-hmm.
And it introduces Jiminy Cricket, who becomes a Disney staple. Did you ever watch that I'm No Fool series in, like, the early 90s, late 80s kind of thing? I think it was, like, in elementary school.
No.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket had this whole, like, I'm no fool, I'm gonna... It was like, I'm no fool, no siree. I'm gonna live to be like 83. You missed out. He taught you how to be a good person. He was like,
oh, well, that explains some things.
Like, you did not have enough Jiminy Cricket in your early childhood.
I guess not.
But it was also safety things. Like, he had a whole thing about, like, not crossing the street without looking both ways and not, you know, like, talking to strangers. And anyway, Jiminy Cricket taught you a lot of good life skills as a child. Mm-hmm.
Not me, but...
No, but he taught me a lot of good life skills.
Mm.
And, of course, the Disney anthem, When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yes.
Which might be the quintessential Disney song.
Basically, yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking of one that is more Disney.
Just the theme of it and everything is very Disney-esque.
Totally.
Disney's all about a dream and making it happen.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, a box office bomb. Because...
Wow.
1940.
Yeah.
World War II basically cut off the overseas markets. However, critics went wild, okay? It won Oscars for soundtrack and song and found more commercial success in later, like after 1940. Makes sense. In reissues, re-releases, mostly after the war, when they re-released these movies, they found more success. In 1994, it was added to the National Film Registry, and it is critically considered to be one of, if not the, animated film most closely approaches technical perfection.
Hmm.
Like, even now.
Interesting. I mean, the animation compared to Snow White is like light years ahead.
Which is crazy. It was not that far.
It wasn't that far, but I guess, I don't know, they practiced with all the shorts. Because like they were experimenting with the shorts, so they had those.
Well, I still have the Silly Symphonies going on.
To learn, yeah, your Silly Symphonies.
Your Mickeys.
And your Mickey cartoons and your Donald cartoons. All those things to learn things. And yes, Pinocchio and Geppetto and Figaro are animated beautifully.
Yes.
I did notice some background scenes.
Not great.
That were not great. It is kind of funny where they paid their attention to and where they didn't, but yeah, no, it's a beautifully animated film.
So a lot of the things that get praised are actually things like the thunderstorm, right? Like the natural elements. When we were talking Silly Symphonies before in the 30s episode, you really praised the old mill.
Yes.
And I think you can see that influence here a lot.
You bet.
Yeah, so very highly critically acclaimed. Apparently, in the mid-2000s, there was a sequel planned.
Ooh.
However, when John Lasseter in 2006 was named Chief Creative Officer, he said, ah, heck no. And scrapped that right away. It is slated for a live-action remake. Will be released exclusively on Disney Plus. We talked about live action last episode, actually.
Yes.
And the big one, Tom Hanks is going to play Geppetto.
That's, like, perfect casting.
I was trying to think. I was like, who would be a better cast? Nope. Doesn't exist.
No.
Can't think of one.
No, that's great. Who's going to play Pinocchio?
I'm Little Wooden Boy.
Little Wooden Boy?
I don't know. The guy from Shrek. They brought back the puppet from Shrek.
Oh, yeah. Great. No.
I don't know who's going to...
Like, someone's got to voice him. Yes. And like, it's going to be all CGI.
Oh, 100%.
But, I don't know. Yeah, interesting.
I just hope it's not weird and creepy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so... 1940, same year. What do you think about Fantasia?
Fantasia's tough for me. I want to like it. There's some beautiful sequences in it. But I don't want to sit through... I just don't want to sit through the whole thing. I just can't. I can't. I think it's worthy of being a thing, but it's not for me.
So Fantasia is one of the... We've seen this... in other movies that we've watched recently, when critics love it and the audience generally doesn't.
I wouldn't recommend it for general consumption, no.
So Fantasia was an interesting one. If you haven't seen Fantasia, it's the most unique out of all the Disney feature films. You'd say that's a fair statement, right?
Well, it's a concert. Yeah, it's not a movie, it's a concert.
It is 8 animated segments set to pieces of classical music conducted by Leopold Stokowski. I'm probably butchering that name.
Leo.
Yeah, good old perfect. Leo. Yeah. So Leo conducts it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 7 of those are performed by the Philadelphia Orchestra, and each segment is introduced in live action by a critic and composer named Deems Taylor. I don't know who that is, but that is what the internet told me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. See, I don't even remember that. I'm probably mushing it together with Fantasia 2000.
So Fantasia 2000, I actually went and saw in theaters.
I did as well, yes.
Yeah, I saw it in IMAX.
Mm.
That was kind of cool, actually. Except I took my little brother and sister, who
fell asleep.
Very young.
Yeah.
And if they didn't fall asleep, they probably wanted to. Maybe they liked it, but I'm sure they were... Yeah,
it's a tough sell on for kids.
It's a tough sell for kids. That was actually one of the problems with this one.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1938 now... Sorcerer's Apprentice was actually animated on its own. That's probably the most famous scene
1938?
Yeah, probably the most famous scene from Fantasia. But they didn't know what to do with it. It was going to be a silly symphony.
Right.
And then, so what happened is, Mickey had kind of lost a little bit of his popularity. So they created Sorcerer's Apprentice, thinking we're going to bring back some of Mickey's popularity there in the late 30s. They really liked it so much that Walt was like, I want to have this be the centerpiece of its own film. Hence, Fantasia.
Right.
So that was really the spur of the whole thing. So they kept back Sorcerer's Apprentice to use for Fantasia.
I mean, that is the most memorable thing from 100%. Sorcerer.
100%. Fantasound was created. It was a pioneering sound creation. It was the first commercial film shown in stereo, and it was a precursor to surround sound. Initially, it was a commercial flop. World War II cut into overseas markets again, same year as Pinocchio, so of course it did. But there was also the really high production cost, the cost of this new Fantasound equipment, but was re-released many times and is now the 24th highest grossing film of all time in the United States, which shocked me.
Yeah, that is actually really shocking.
The 24th highest grossing film. Is that not crazy?
Is that inflation adjusted?
Or? I would assume so, but I'm not sure.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd have to look that up, but that is crazy.
It is very highly critically acclaimed.
Yes. It's art, but I don't know if I want to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I did rewatch it, I think this summer. But there was parental confusion, shocking, after Snow White and then Pinocchio. And then they didn't really know what to make of this, right? They were unsure of the style. And the big thing was there was a lot of people who were terrified of Night on Bald Mountain. Some music critics were complained about the arrangements of the music, especially Rites of Spring. But overall, most critics liked it. They did think Night on Bald Mountain was a little scary, which is actually one of my favorite scenes. Night on Bald Mountain and Sorcerer's Apprentice are fantastic, although I do enjoy dancing hippos.
Yeah, I was going to say the ballerina hippo is great.
Right, with the crocodiles, fantastic. The sequel, Fantasia 2000, was released by Roy E. Disney, who was Walt's nephew, in 1999. And this is also in the National Film Registry. Basically, everything they did in the early 40s is considered a classic now.
Yeah.
Except Song of the South, which was later, and we don't talk about that. Yeah. Dumbo, 1941. Talk about a classic. So Jumbo Jr. is nicknamed Dumbo cruelly. His only friend besides his mother is Timothy Mouse. Basically, they wanted to parody the stereotype between mice and elephants, right? Well, it was interesting because they had just done Jiminy Cricket, so they're like, do they have a thing for small little animals? I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. It is actually one of Disney's shortest animated features. It was made very simply, specifically because they lost so much money on Pinocchio and Fantasia because it's World War II is going on. Dumbo seems unique because he has no spoken dialogue. However, that was similar. Dopey didn't have spoken dialogue in Snow White. Gideon didn't have spoken dialogue in Pinocchio. Tootle and Peter Pan, okay, that's later, but he doesn't have spoken dialogue.
Yeah, but okay, so Dumbo is the main character.
He is.
Of the movie.
Yeah, and he is, and that's weird. And so people are like, is it because he's a child? Like, he's a baby and he's not supposed to be able to speak?
Or he's just weird? And,
maybe.
Yeah.
His mother only says one thing. She says her name.
His name.
She says his name.
Yes.
Yes. Big problem with Dumbo, though. Hasn't aged well in one area. The crows.
The crows.
The leader of the crows was originally called Jim Crow. In the 50s, his name was... Ooh. Yep. Ooh. In the 50s, his name was changed to Dandy Crow. Okay, so
yeah,
that's not great.
No, it's not great. I mean, but like I said, product of its time. Mm-hmm. Not that it's forgivable. Mm-mm. But I don't think you should censor it either.
Right. That's basically what I think. I think you have to be aware of it. You have to acknowledge it. You have to say, hey, this was problematic. It was also 1941. That doesn't make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the people who would have been offended at the time.
They weren't allowed.
Exactly.
They weren't allowed to be offended.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the big one. People are like, well, people are just offended now. No. People have always been offended. No one was able to, they just weren't able to say they were offended.
Yeah.
So we have to acknowledge it now.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Crow was his name. It is now Dandy Crow. I know. Like, it's that, oh, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Stork. Let's move on to Mr. Stork, he's happier.
Yeah.
Voiced by Sterling Holloway, who did Ka and Jungle Book, and most famously, Winnie the Pooh.
Ah, yes. That is a very famous voice.
Love that voice.
Yeah, that's a good
and every
voice.
Time I watch it, I'm like, it's Winnie the Pooh.
It is really weird hearing it as the villain in Jungle Book,
right?
Though.
No, Mr. Stork is fine.
I'm like,
Ka, though?
Pooh, no.
No, don't eat it.
Be nice. So.
It is the most financially successful film of the 40s.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Critically approved. It's called the word that gets used over and over again is it's charming, which is totally accurate.
Yeah,
100%. The live action remake was Tim Burton. Did not include the crows or Timothy Mouse.
Shocking. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there was a mouse in it.
It was, and he had a little outfit, but it was more like a cameo.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was an Easter egg, not a character.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was the most financially successful, which is interesting because the next year we have Bambi.
Which you would think of as very big.
Right?
Yeah.
When I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Pinocchio and I love Dumbo, but Bambi just seems like quintessential, successful. Not at all.
We're talking theatrical release,
yes,
though. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Not over the test of time. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. All of these have stood the test of time. Based on a 1923 book called Bambi, A Life in the Woods.
Which was not for children.
No, it was not. In the book, like, basically...
Read that to your little kiddies.
No.
Yeah, I've heard there's some interesting things in that book.
I've never read it. Oh, I didn't know that.
Lots of blood and guts and other things.
Well, Bambi's upsetting enough on its own.
Yeah, no, this is much worse, apparently.
Really?
No, yes.
I don't want to read that. No. Forget kitties. I don't want to read that. They decided to change the deer from... It was a roe deer in the original book, which is European, but they decided to make it more like a mix between mule deer and whitetail.
Yeah, it's supposed to... Yeah, I mean, he does kind of look whitetail-ish, but he's supposed to be a mule deer.
He's supposed to be a mule deer, but he's... Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They took some creative license with it, yeah.
They also don't have that big of an eye, just in case you were wondering.
Well, yeah, I did read that deer are very tough to animate because... Real deer's eyes are on either side of their head, so they wouldn't look good in animation, and they don't have chins, really, so...
Right.
So they actually kind of, like, molded, baby features onto, like, human baby features onto a deer's head.
I didn't know
Yeah,
that
it was this whole
sense,
thing,
though.
Yeah.
There are a lot of deer where we live. That mm-hmm. totally makes sense, and I'm like, oh, yeah, because they need to be looking around them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bambi is not accurate.
And did you know what the most difficult thing to animate in Bambi was his father's antlers.
Really?
Yeah, they had real trouble with like the aspect of them.
Really?
And so they actually made like a clay mold of them and rotoscoped it instead of hand drawing it.
What?
Yeah.
Why were they so difficult?
Well,
I
because
wonder?
Like the prong sticking out, mm-hmm. like the 3D, it was very difficult.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Huh. If I'd have picked something in that movie that would be difficult to animate, I would not have picked antlers.
Should have used that as my trivia.
You should have. They're stationary. They don't move on their own. You're
yeah,
not like,
it's,
yeah.
It's, but if you think about it, like, antlers are a 3D structure, and animation is two-dimensional.
Yeah, but...
To make that move with his head and everything would be very difficult.
Also three-dimensional.
Yeah, but...
Because they're the ones doing the moving, maybe?
Yeah, it's...
Weird.
I can see it.
Okay, yeah. All right. In 2020, there's a live action that's been announced. Of course, there has been. There's a live action for everything. Did you listen to our last episode?
How are they going to train the deer?
Right? When it first came out, seriously mixed reviews, mostly because this was the first one that didn't have a whole lot of fantasy elements. People didn't really know what to make of this. They actually bought into Fantasia before they bought into Bambi.
Mm.
Hunters said, this is a quote, "It was the worst insult ever offered in any form to American sportsmen."
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and taking it back to your animators' problem with Disney,
mm-hmm.
apparently the animators had a code word related to Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
They said when Walt would come down to the animation studio, they'd say, "Man is in the forest."
No.
To say that Walt is here to cause trouble. Yeah.
Big boss man's on the
floor. Exactly. Man is in the
forest. Boss is coming.
Yeah.
The boss is coming. The boss is coming.
Good one, hey?
Yeah.
That should have been my trivia as well.
Man,
huh?
I'm really scared of your trivia now because this is amazing.
Huh. I'm just ruining everything,
you
I guess.
Are.
Yeah.
I really like that. Yeah.
Mm.
So, speaking of controversy when it was released, Disney's daughter, Diane, was very upset with the death of Bambi's mother.
Well, I mean, who isn't?
Right? It is now considered one of the greatest animated movies ever made, and it's also regarded as one of the saddest.
Hmm.
Like, on all of these lists where it's like the saddest movie ever, you'll have adults being like, Bambi, Bambi.
First 10 minutes of Up.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine. Mm-hmm. Actually, a student asked me the other day, she was trying to figure out how to cry on command. And she's like, I don't know, do you know how to do that? You've taken drama and stuff like that. Like, you've taught drama, how do you get to do it? And I was like, first 10 minutes of Up. And she's like, oh no, that would do it. It did not financially do as well as an initial release as hopes, largely World War II focused. Also, this controversy... There is the off-screen villain Man is actually listed as number 20 on American Film Institute's list of villains. Paul McCartney said the death of Bambi's mom spurred his interest in animal rights, and he's like this very famous.
Well, he's like a vegan because of that.
The Bambi's mom.
Uh-huh.
Animals appeared shortly after the release of this film in fire prevention campaigns, like with Smokey the Bear.
Only you can prevent the death of Bambi's mom.
That's basically the gist of it, I think. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. It was a direct-to-video release in 2006, had like a sequel that is completely forgotten about. Yeah. Okay, so 2000s, what were you doing with all the sequels? Basically, sequels to classics in 2000s
are what... They wanted money.
Oh, right, 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 right. So basically, that was the equivalent of live action now.
Yeah, except like cheaply mm-hmm. done and no one cared and just throw it out there and children will watch anything.
Right.
Yeah, no. Ugh.
So one thing Walt was super interested in was like nature in general, specifically nature conservation. And this ended up being one of his favorite movies that he ever did. And that's a pretty impressive list of movies that he had a hand in. It may have led down the path that includes Animal Kingdom, for example. And he also had this list of these nature documentaries that came out afterwards, all about different... like pieces that he did, you know, a focus on like rivers and a focus on whatever.
Yeah, so. they continue to this day.
Well, they do now.
The Disney nature films. Mm-hmm. Of course, the most famous problem with the Disney nature films is the myth that lemmings jump off a cliff.
That's true. I saw that one.
Yeah, they don't actually jump off cliffs.
And Disney is completely responsible for that.
And thanks, Disney, for killing lemmings. Great.
But they had all of these different, this original different docuseries way back when, and now they can, like you said, they continue to this mm-hmm. day. They do ones for Disney Plus even, and yep. you have Animal Kingdom and things. All of it basically stems from Bambi.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So those were the biggies, but those are not the only things they came out with in the 40s.
Well, they had a lot of shorts.
They did, but they also had other feature films.
Really?
Yes, they did.
Like live action or?
Combination ones, they're called. Oh, where they had different pieces put together.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, mm-hmm. they were packaged films that saved money either during or immediately after World War II.
Because you can slap together some live action portions for cheaper than the animation exactly. is. Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. you can slap together a couple short films into one. So, for example, remember how I said he went to South America?
Mm-hmm.
In 1942, came out with Saludos Amigos.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1944, The Three Caballeros. Right? So we see that influence there, for sure. And like you said, let's throw in some live-action actors in there. Let's put together a couple short pieces, and if we put together enough, we can release it as a feature. Make My Music came out in 46, Fun and Fancy Free. Did you ever watch Fun and Fancy Free? I used to love this one.
You know, I've heard the title. I cannot place it.
It was the one with Bongo the Bear. I watched it. Well, probably like this summer because, you know, it was COVID. What else was I doing?
Mm.
And I think you kept going, what are you watching?
Sounds like something I would say.
Okay. That was in 47. Melody Time was in 48. And what I think is the best one on this list, although I do love Three Caballeros, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Mm.
1949. These are all considered like combination or package movies.
Right.
And these were big in the 40s, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, so those were the feature films. And then, like you said,
mm-hmm.
so many short films at the same time, in addition to all the short propaganda ones they were doing.
Yeah, like the propaganda is interesting historically.
Mm-hmm.
But entertainment-wise, I think the short films in the 40s might be like cream of the crop.
100%.
Might even be better than the feature films. Although, I did really like Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Bambi's... amazing.
Yeah, well, and Dumbo, I mean, I'm sorry, we're talking about Disney movies that can make you cry. Freaking baby mine every single time. She was trying to protect him, and she's not a mad elephant. Hey, I know, you don't like elephants.
I don't really like elephants, no. Okay. Well, circus elephants. We have a history.
Okay, would you care to share your history with... I was just like, why don't you like Dumbo? Oh, right, it clicked. You don't like circus elephants.
Yeah.
Brandon, why don't you like circus elephants?
I had a run-in with a circus elephant when I was 5 years old.
This sounds made up, but apparently it 100% happened. His mom also tells me.
Yeah, well, so there was a traveling circus, came to my little small town, and... much like the Dumbo Circus, they had some elephants, which I'm not in favor of, trucking elephants around the country.
Yeah. You're not anti-elephant, you're anti-circus elephant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the elephant, they had an intermission
mm-hmm.
in the Three Ring Circus, mm-hmm. and they were offering elephant rides, and I thought, that sounds fun, so my mom gave me a little $5 bill, and I hopped on this elephant, and it decided to go on a rampage, much like Dumbo's mom does in the movie.
While you were on its back?
While I was on its back, and I did fall from the elephant onto some concrete and almost got trampled, but did not. I'm still here. But yeah, I don't really like circus elephants.
Can't imagine why. You know who probably likes them less? Your mother, who had to watch this happen.
Yeah. I stayed for the rest of the circus
after
that. I wasn't traumatized. My classmates, my kindergarten classmates, were yeah, they left.
I stayed.
I was fine, but I don't blame the elephant. I don't think that circus elephants are the right answer.
Yeah, I think they're too intelligent for...
No, it's not a good life for any intelligent creature, mm-hmm. and you should treat your animals good.
We are big animal fans.
Yes.
Yes. And so that's why you don't like Dumbo as much.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
it's a subconscious
maybe
thing.
Maybe subconsciously. Maybe you're like rooting for Mrs. Jumbo the whole time.
Yeah, I sympathize. Mm-hmm. I empathize with them, but mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I almost died, so, you know.
So your vote is Pinocchio and Bambi if you're picking.
If I'm picking, yeah.
Okay, but you like the shorts a lot.
I like the shorts. The big ones that I really mm-hmm. like are the how-to videos
yes,
with Goofy.
Those are the best ones.
They're just
totally agree.
Amazing. I mm-hmm. like those have aged perfectly.
I know.
And they should keep making them, but mm-hmm. they're,
yeah, they did it.
They have some modern ones, yes. Yeah. But
I liked when he sets up a stereo and when he does all these.
Goofy Builds a Home Theater is probably the best modern one.
Yes, that is a good one. Yes.
But all the sports ones from the 40s mm-hmm. are just fantastic.
Oh, I'm trying to think what my favorite might be. I should have made you pick a favorite. I like the exercise equipment one, actually.
The exercise equipment. I like the football one.
That one might be the best one, actually. That one's really good.
Yeah, the football one is really good.
That one's really good. Oh, you know what? They're all really good.
It's perfect Goofy cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like quintessential Goofy. That mm-hmm. is what makes mm-hmm. Goofy awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so there were other shorts as well. Of course, you had Mickey cartoons continuing and things like that. But I do tend to agree with you. Cream of the crop, Goofy, if we're going short films.
The interesting, I was browsing Disney Plus before we were doing this episode, and there was a couple shorts. There was like, Mr. Duck Does This, and Mr. Mouse Takes a Trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that they were calling them Mr. This.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, is it a marketing thing? Or...
I didn't read like history and too much of that. Have you ever watched Mr. Duck Steps Out?
No.
We should.
Well, I'm sure I have at some point, but yes. I just don't remember. Yeah.
But like that style was, they were trying to be like dapper. Were these characters, right. They were trying to be dandy, you might even say.
Oh.
Like,
mm-hmm.
The Crow.
Danny Crow.
And, you know, like, it just, I think it was supposed to be, like, appealing to the style of the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I haven't seen Mr. Mouse Takes a Trip in a while, but the little screenshot on Disney Plus looks very much like Singing in the Rain, where he's the singing guy with his hat and stuff. Yeah,
very similar. Style. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, good style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a question for you. Before we move on to trivia and things like that, I'm just randomly going to guess. Yeah, you don't know I'm asking you this.
Hmm.
Okay.
Surprise!
You were asking who I thought was voicing Pinocchio, and we don't know. Who would you pick to voice Pinocchio? We know Tom Hanks is being good old Geppetto here.
I don't know. I think you should just have some kid do it.
Yeah. Kid off the street?
Yeah.
So in Lion King, at the time, they had Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who was, I don't know, like 14, 15 or something like that, do it. Obviously, they didn't for the live-action remake. Are you thinking someone about that age, like a child actor kind of thing, or just...
Yeah, get a child actor. It doesn't have to be 14. Could be younger than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some unknown child actor could do a very good job. They find them on Broadway all the time.
It's true. Maybe go to Broadway and
pick one up. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or just off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. Cool. Anything to add for short films, 40s?
It was a pretty good decade, aside from the whole World War part.
Horrible war.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for Disney.
For Disney, yeah. But they didn't. It wasn't a good decade at the time.
No.
It took time.
It took time. It ate, other than the problematic parts, it did age pretty well.
Yeah, they're now classics.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of classics were established. And then my other question for you is, what do you think of Man in Bambi? That was rated as one of the biggest villains of all time. Like, he's in the top 20 list. A character we never see. A villain we never see. Do you think he's a villain, or...?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's valid. I don't have a problem with hunting per se.
In our area, there are a lot of people go hunting.
Yeah, and I enjoy a nice tasty venison steak, some deer sausage.
I really enjoy elk.
But, I mean, humans are not known for their restraint.
True.
And, like, overhunting and trophy hunting is a big problem. So, yes. I think it's a valid villain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually quite progressive for the 40s, I think. Especially when you hold it up against something like Jim Crow.
I mean, you got your Hollywood hippies working on those things.
I suppose. But it was the 40s. I mean, hippies weren't really
Hippies weren't invented yet.
Beatniks. They were beatniks at the time, I think.
right. That's what they called them.
Yes. Oh, they were artists, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so interesting time at Disney. A little bit of a rough time, but ended up having a lot of classics in there.
They didn't go bankrupt, although they tried really hard.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. I think you should rewatch some of those compilation ones. You gotta watch Fun, Fancy, Free.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think that brings us to trivia.
Ah.
Okay, last time I got to ask you questions. And remember how I said we were doing really, really well with trivia?
Well, you had some dumb questions.
They were not dumb questions. I just had dumb answers.
They were a little dumb. Well, the answers were also dumb, but...
Yes.
Garbage in, garbage out, as I always say.
So, our three trivia questions, of course, were all about live action because we were watching live action movies and talking about live action movies. Question number one was, in the live action Aladdin, Jasmine's friend / handmaiden is named Dahlia. What is her name in the animated original? You were off on this one.
I don't even remember a handmaiden from the animated original. That's how big she was. Her name was Steve.
The character
wasn't Steve?
It wasn't Steve, weirdly enough. Yeah.
Darn.
Yeah.
So close.
I know. Man, the character does not exist in the original.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So it was a dumb question.
Why did you say the character does not exist in the original?
Well, you asked me what the name of the character was, not if it existed.
Because it's not a yes or no question. Question two. Mm. Nah. The original Beauty and the Beast doesn't explain what happened to Belle's mother. In the remake, how does her mother die? You said...
In childbirth.
It was actually the plague.
Ah, close enough.
What? That is not the same thing.
That's not... Childbirth, plague. What can you do?
Not the same thing. Not the same at all. Oh. I thought plague would be an easy one. You just assume everything was the plague now because you know it's 2021. And question number three... What is the first live-action remake to get a PG-13 rating in the U.S.? I thought this was a good one.
Yeah, that's not a bad...
That's a good question.
That is the one good question that
you
had.
No, I think they're all good questions. This is what you said.
The Lion King? I don't know. There was some violence in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It was actually Mulan.
Oh, see, I thought I guessed Mulan, but I guess not.
No. Also, quick shout-out here before you, like, obliterate me with your questions... We've had Lindsay do really well on trivia before. She got 2 out of 3 on this one. So shout out to Lindsay, because that was...
I'm going to invite her to my bar trivia team then.
Right? All Disney live action questions all the time. Yeah. She also says we are way too harsh on the live action.
I like the originals, okay? I don't need the live action remake. I have the original. They still exist. I didn't hate any of the remakes, except for 101 Dalmatians. No, that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only really bad one.
I think we sound more critical than we actually are. Right. Especially, you're kind of eh about them. I'm also eh, but slightly less...
Less eh?
Less eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the technical terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not great on the trivia.
Well, I'm going to trim the trivia down today.
Okay, all right.
Only going to have 2 questions.
Okay.
Mostly because you said one of them. Already.
Oh, sorry.
So.
I'm curious what that one was.
That's fine.
What was the one I said?
I was going to ask you what Walt's favorite film
was. Oh, Bambi.
Yes. It is Bambi. Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But, I didn't until I was doing the research for this episode.
that doesn't help us with these trivias, but we will go with some other trivia.
Okay.
So. There is actually some future Disney projects that are teased as an Easter egg in one of the films from the 40s.
Interesting.
What 2 future Disney feature films are teased in a 1940s feature?
Are you going to tell me which feature?
No.
Brat.
A little Easter egg.
A little Easter egg. So two.
Yeah, there's two, and they're in the same movie.
Oh, okay. All right, good to know.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you told me which film they were in, I could probably figure it out. I've seen them all like a bajillion and a half times.
Okay. We just watched it.
Okay, so they're in Pinocchio. Thank you.
Yeah.
In Pinocchio.
I even commented on it at the time, but you were not paying attention.
I was probably all emotional about Pinocchio. Peter Pan?
That's one guess.
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty and Peter Pan. Is that your final answer?
I think they're both wrong, but sure.
Ah, okay. And finally, since you took my other answer.
Sorry.
Another Pinocchio question.
Okay.
What type of wood is Pinocchio made out of?
Pine.
Pine?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
I mean, we are talking about Italy here.
It's probably not pine then.
Do they have a lot of pine trees in Italy?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, it is a cheap wood. He's trying to make a little boy. Uh-huh. Is pine?
Jiminy Cricket taps him on the head and he's like, good solid wood too. I'm pine, I'm saying.
You're
pine.
Just gonna say pine?
Sick of pine, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that didn't go very well. I am not hopeful at all as far as my answers to those questions. Maybe people listening might have better luck than me. And by better luck, I mean better knowledge than me. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, if you do think you know the answer and I don't, which is very likely, or if you just want to tell me how I'm right, which is very unlikely, feel free to contact us on our social media accounts. Thank you also to El Mule, who is responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on our social media. Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find DisneyA episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, among others. Please review our podcast and subscribe. And if you know someone who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend DisneyA to them. You can also listen to DisneyA episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4 o'clock. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. So join us next week and every Monday. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Oh, we lost Krista. She's lost it now.
Okay.